The verse begins and it says, Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. Jericho is like this world. It was a large, populated, rich city. The people that worked there worked hard and they played harder. They had comfort, they had pleasure. They went about their day to day. Everybody in that city, if you ask them, they would tell you how God saves. They would tell you that they were saved. They would tell you that they believed they were all right with God. And every one of them was worshiping the gods of their imagination. They were worshiping the gods they had thought up in their minds, the works of their own hands. And God had devoted that entire city to destruction, and they had no idea. This world's under the curse. God has devoted this world to destruction. Everything in it's marked for destruction. And right now, everybody who is not trusting Christ is one with this world. And as far as anybody can tell, you're marked for destruction. Perhaps you're an elect child of God. God did have an elect child in Jericho. Her name was Rahab. And she was no different than the rest of them. She was a harlot. But God chose her. And God would bring her out of Jericho. And He would bring all her family out. A picture of God bringing out all the church and family of God out of this world. He will lose none. He will bring them out. Bring them out. So Christ our head, Christ our captain, the one spoken of there we saw in Joshua 5, who Joshua saw, He assembled Joshua and all the children of Israel, and He told them, I have given you the victory. He said, I've given you the victory over Jericho. Look here in verse 2. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thy hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Christ has told us, He said, In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He's overcome the world and He's overcome Satan, the prince of this world. And He said, I've given you the king of Jericho. He's subdued him. He's crushed his head, that is his power, his headship, when He triumphed over him on the cross and made a show of him openly, and triumphing over all powers and principalities. And He's given us the mighty men of valor, that is those of His elect children who think they're strong and able to fight and able to overcome and they won't. Now, I'm not going to hear the gospel. Yes, you are. If God's marked you as His child, He's going to subdue you. He's going to conquer you. And He's promised us that. He's promised you and I, believer, that. So as we go forth, He's promised us victory. But God's ways are not our ways, are they? They're not our ways. In the wisdom of God, God chose the foolishness of preaching to call out His lost sheep. And so after promising Israel and Joshua this victory, Christ sent them forth in a manner that typifies preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 3. You shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day shall you compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straightway before him. God's appointed 6 days, He's appointed a time. He's appointed a specific time that His gospel is going to be preached in this world. It's like a 6-day work week. And it's going to be preached, and we just sing it, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. And that's when the Jubilee trumpet will blow, that long blast, and the walls will fall down, and every man will ascend straightway up before Him. But until that happens, we have 6 days that God's appointed. Not a literal 6 days, but an appointed time to preach this gospel. They were to go forth carrying the ark as 7 priests blew trumpets made out of ram's horns. That's a picture of, it typifies Christ and Him crucified being preached by you and I, who Christ has made priests unto God. We're to go forth We're just like they were to go around Jericho, we're to go around this world preaching the gospel. And he said, cry loud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions. He said, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. That's what the gospel is. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. That's what we're doing here today. Paul said, and if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? Who's going to prepare for this battle if they don't? If the trumpet's not giving an off sound? Well, they were to bear the ark. I said to you that early in the first hour, that ark pictures Christ. That ark was made of shittim wood, made out of wood. Christ was a man. His people were flesh. He was made flesh that he might bear our sins in his body on the tree and answer to the penalty of sin as a man and put away our sin as a man. But that ark was overlaid inside and out with pure gold. Christ is God too. And because he's God, everything he accomplished is eternal. He accomplished eternal redemption, eternal justification. And in the ark was the law of the covenant. That law written on God's heart was the law that God made with him, that covenant God made with him before the foundation of the world to come and be made a curse for his people and redeem them from the curse of the law. And God promised, and I'll send forth the spirit of adoption into their hearts, and they'll cry, Abba, Father, and they'll come to me through you, and I'll give them access into my presence. And so Christ came forth and fulfilled everything. He's that mercy seat, that propitiation. Justice is satisfied by Christ. God is just and justifier of all those he'll call to faith in Christ. And then we see here there was an armed guard that went before, and there was an armed guard that came up in the rear, to the rear guard. And we've been taught through the Scriptures that Christ is with us always. He is our armory. He's our armor. He goes before us, he comes up from behind, and he protects his people. Seven's the number of perfection. The number of perfection. Everything was sevens all through this. Blow seven trumpets. Compass the city seven times. On the seventh day, do it seven times. All these sevens. No, that's the number of perfection. The number of people that are assembled in this body, the number of believers that are assembled in this body for this work is a perfect number. You know why? Christ has added to this church daily such as should be saved. It's the perfect number that should be here right now. Right now. And we're going forth and we're declaring a perfect Redeemer who's accomplished perfect redemption and made His people perfect. And we're going to do this until He's perfectly fulfilled the work and called out every elect child. And they use ram's horns. You know, a ram's horn's not a silver horn. It's not a gold horn. It's not a pretty horn. We used to go hunting when I was back home, and we had horns made out of bull horns. It was kind of like a ram's horn. It's just an old ugly horn, what it is. And that horn, that ram's horn, as opposed to being a silver horn, a beautiful horn, it expresses both the foolishness of preaching as well as the nothingness of us who God uses to preach. Can't you just picture, whenever they first began to go around Jericho blowing these trumpets, can't you just picture the people up on the wall looking out there and they watched them go around? Fellas, y'all got to come here and look at this. What are these dummies doing? They just walk around blowing a trumpet. They just walk around the city blowing a trumpet. It was foolishness to them. Well, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, things which are nothing, to bring to nothing things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. And yet eventually the sound of that trumpet did two things. One, it struck fear in the hearts of God's enemies. And two, it gave great confidence and it gave the victory in the hearts of God's people. And that's what our gospel does. Paul said, unto the one we're the savor of death unto death, and unto the other the savor of life unto life. Isn't that amazing? It's Some people are hearing this gospel right now, this minute, and they're thinking, this sounds like death to me, and I don't want anything to do with it. And some people are hearing it and saying, this sounds like life to me. Isn't that amazing? That's what the gospel is. So this is what God has sent them for, and He was going to call out that elect child, Rahab. This was the chief purpose. One of the purposes. It wasn't the chief purpose. The chief purpose was to glorify Him. He was going to call out Rahab, but there was another reason for assembling them and giving them this commission. And that's what I want to look at today. Here's the point. God uses the means of the gospel not only to call out His sheep, but to teach us who He has already called to believe more upon Christ, who shall give us this victory through faith in Him. That's why He's assembled us. I've titled this Overcoming the World. First of all, the way in which sinners overcome the world is through faith in Christ, which is proven by obeying Christ's commands. Christ said here in verse 2, He said, "See, I have given into thy hand Jericho." Now, in order for them to see that, this was not carnal sight He's talking about. They're going to have to see this by faith. They're going to have to see this by faith. Christ gave them the victory. Christ gives us faith. And He says, when He's given you faith, He says, now you see, I've given you the victory. And faith sees. Not as the carnal sight sees. Faith is evidence of things not seen. We see Christ has given us the victory. And then, but that faith is going to be proven. It's going to be proven. You see, this city, Jericho, this is one of those cities when the spies went forth, you know, and they spied it out 40 years earlier. They came back. This is one of those cities that they said the cities were walled and very great. They didn't have any faith. So they came back and they said, there's no way we can take these cities. Their walls go all the way up to heaven. That's what they saw with carnal sight. So now Christ, He's telling them, I've given you this city. And they believed Christ. And to prove their faith in Christ, Christ commanded them to take this city by marching around it and blowing a trumpet. True faith is going to be proven by trial. It's going to be proven by trial. Whenever they crossed the Jordan, they just crossed the Jordan, that required faith. And that faith was tried as well. The Lord told them exactly how He was going to divide that Jordan River, and they were going to cross. But He didn't divide that river until their faith was proven. They took up the ark, and they walked, and they stood in the edge of that river. And when they stood in that edge of that river, they proved they believed Him. And then God did the work. God did the work. Christ made the waters go back, but not until faith had been proven, and not until they stood in the brink of those waters. Well, that's how it was here at Jericho. The captain of the Lord's host, Christ Jesus, declared He had given the city into their hand. But He didn't make the walls fall down. And He didn't make the gates open. And He didn't make the people come walking out and bow down and saying, we surrender. He didn't do any of that. Christ's people would have to go forth with the ark blowing the trumpets. They'd have to do that. You see, that's the same with us, brethren. The Scripture says, as the body without the Spirit is dead, as a body without a spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. But they're not the works that this vainly religious world imagines they are. They're not. They're not. Christ only calls on His people to do what is an utter impossibility for us to do. These are the works that prove. Abraham was an example. Abraham was told to offer his son Isaac. And he did so trusting God was able to raise him from the dead. Abraham wasn't able to. Rahab's another example of faith. She trusted God was able to deliver them, and she hid those spies. She was not able to do that. And now you have Joshua and Israel, and he's told them, I've given this city into your hand. These walls are going to fall down. But they were not able to make that happen. They had to walk around that city blowing a trumpet and carry it holding up that ark like God said. You see, our faith is proven. He's given us faith, He's called us, and He's made us to believe the gospel. And we do by His power. But brethren, now He's proving our faith by sending us forth to preach this gospel to dead, walled up, fortified sinners using no other means whatsoever. That's a work that proves faith to be genuine. No gimmicks, no scheming, no high-pressure tactics, no flesh-pleasing sales pitches. We're just supposed to preach Christ. Believe that Christ will give life where there is none. Believe that Christ will break down all the walls of defense. Believe that Christ will make His child willing to be delivered on God's terms. That's what we're to do, to trust Him. This is one way that Christ proves that His child has been given true faith, by sending us forth to simply do as He commands, to believe Christ and preach Him. And I'll tell you something else. Because the gospel is so vital to each one of our brethren and to lost sinners, because the gospel is so vital, supporting the gospel of Christ is the chief way we love our brethren. It's the chief way. So Joshua proved he believed Christ. How did he prove it? First of all, he preached to his brethren what Christ commanded. Look at verse 6. Christ had told him the gospel, and then he said this, verse 6, "And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests, and he said unto them," he told them just what Christ told him. Told them what Christ told him. Now you picture that scene, brethren. Try to picture that. Here's the children of Israel, and they're waiting on Joshua to come and tell them what kind of grand tactical surprise they're going to put on Jericho. We're going to tunnel under the walls, or we're going to starve them out, or we're going to make a Trojan horse. How are we going to attack them? And Joshua feared God more than he feared men. He reverenced God more than he reverenced men. His heart was made humble toward Christ more than towards men. And so you know what he did? Joshua came forth, and he didn't fear the congregation that they were going to persecute him. He came forth, he didn't ask the priests and the elders to give him their opinions. Christ called Joshua to lead them. He called Joshua to lead them. And so Joshua led Christ's people by bowing to Christ rather than by bowing to the opinions of his brethren. That's what he did. Why do preachers not declare that sinners are dead in trespasses and sins? Why don't they just say it plainly, truthfully, so everybody can hear it? Why don't they say salvation's not by works? Why don't they say you can't make yourself be born again? You can't come to God by your will. You can't be saved by your works. Why don't men tell that? Why do they scrape and bow before the congregation? Paul said they constrain you to a moral life. They constrain you to law. They constrain you to many benevolent works, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. You know what it is? They don't believe Him. They don't believe Him. They fear men more than they fear God. You can candy coat it and call it anything you want to. That's the truth. That's the truth. Joshua believed Christ. Joshua was a man humble before God by God's grace. He proved it by preaching what Christ commanded, boldly leading those souls that Christ had entrusted to His care. Now you know, brethren, when God's preacher does this, when God's given him a heart to bow to Christ, and he boldly leads the men, and he will not listen to what men say, obstinate men who want to be in charge, they consider that. They'll accuse God's preacher of not being humble. They'll say, he's not humble. That man's not humble. Look at Korah and all the host he led. They stood up and said, we're just as holy as you are. What are you doing taking all this on yourself? You know what Moses did? He hid his face before God. And then he stood up and told them, boys, y'all fixing to go to hell. And God said, he's the meekest man on the earth. He stood up to those fellows because he bowed to God. That's true humility. That's true meekness. That's what true meekness is. There's very few people in this world that believe the gospel is a work of faith. There are very few. There are very few that believe it's true love. Very few. But I'll tell you this, and it's not a work of faith to just simply preach now and again, to fill in now and again. That's not necessarily a work of faith. I could go to a place for 7 years. I went and preached. I went to places and preached. I didn't know the troubles going on. I didn't know what was happening. I could walk in there, preach the gospel, get on an airplane and fly out of there and never have to be concerned about it at all. But to be in the trenches, to be there and to know the troubles and to be there and to know the fickleness of that we are, brethren, to be there and to know there's men who hate the gospel and are giving you the stink eye the whole time you're preaching. To be there and to see money walk away. To watch money walk away, to watch numbers diminish, and yet just keep on preaching the gospel. Just keep on preaching the truth. God has to give you faith to do that. There's nobody sufficient for this. God gives you faith to do that. And then here's the second thing. It takes faith in the congregation to do this. Look here. We see that here. Those to whom Joshua preached, they believed Christ and they proved it the same way by obeying the word that was delivered to them. Look here in verse 8. And it came to pass when Joshua had spoken unto the people, the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. Those carrying the ark, they followed them. The armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets. The rear ward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And look at this one. Look at this obedience. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, and you shall shout." We're not talking about just a few people here. We're talking about a host in the camp, and then we're talking about a host of folks going around this city. A host of people. We don't know how many was in that front guard and that rear guard, but there was a host of folks going around this city. Don't open your mouth. Don't make a sound with your voice. Don't murmur. Don't complain. Don't say a word. And they did everything God told them to do. That's what they did. They didn't object. They didn't offer their opinions. One didn't complain about his task and desire the other's job. They didn't doubt Christ's ability to do as he said. They believed Christ, and they proved it by each of them doing what Christ commanded for them each to do without a word, without murmuring, in reverence to God. That's what they did. How do I know what God would have me to do? How do I know what part of this work God would have me to do? He's put us different members in the body with given us different talents and different gifts to use. How do I know what He would have me to do? By what He's given us to do. What's He given you to do? Do it. Do it with all your heart. And do it for the furtherance of the gospel. And if God would have you to do more, God will open the door and make you realize, I've got something else for you to do. I've got something else for you to do. Art and Scott used to sit right here and right here. Now they're sitting back there. God opens the door and says, "Here, I got something else for you to do." And you do it. Just do it. All right, so that's the first thing. We overcome by faith. Trust in Christ. And His faith can be proven. It's going to be proven. But here's the second thing now. We overcome this world by persevering in faith. Don't just start and stop. We continue. Look at verse 11. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp, lodged in the camp. And then Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the rear ward came after the ark of the Lord, and the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once, and they returned into the camp. And so they did 6 days. They just kept doing this. First of all, day after day, you think about this, day after day, they're going around that city. They have not seen the first stone loosened. Not the first stone loosened in that wall. It'd be easy to say, Joshua, now listen, we done been around this city 3 times. We ain't talking about a little city. We talking about a big city. We done been all around this city 3 times. We have not even seen a rock fall out of these stones. Don't you think it's time we adjusted and did something a little differently? Don't you think we ought to use another tactic than this? Nope. They kept doing exactly what the Lord told them to do. Kept doing exactly. We declare the gospel. We preach the gospel. And you know, time goes by. And you don't see anybody added to the church. And worse, sometimes you go through stretches where you see folks leave the church. You know what I'm thankful for? There's a lot of congregations. When they see the congregation diminish, there's a lot of congregations that'll call for a business meeting. And they'll get the preacher and they'll say, "Now, we think you need to change up what you're preaching. This ain't working. You got to change. Tone it down a little bit. Preach on something else besides what you're preaching on so that we can get some folks in here. Let's get a ball game. Let's get a ball team. We get them in here with a ball team and then we can trap them with the gospel." And they do all these things and add all these programs, and then all that stuff costs money. And if you start preaching the gospel, those people are going to leave. And so now you end up just having to preach nothing to keep them there to pay for all your junk. You're in a trap. You're in a trap. You'll never preach the gospel. Never do. But you know what you do when we hit those rough patches? You know what you've done when we've hit those places where people are saying things against me and they're saying things against us and they're going away, walking away. You know what you've done? It's amazing, really. You've said, keep on preaching what you're preaching. Keep doing what you're doing. Don't stop. Keep preaching what you're preaching. Yeah, I can't tell you how thankful I am for that. I cannot tell you how encouraging that is. It lets me know God's working a work of grace in your heart and that my preaching's not in vain. All right, look here. Our charge is not to make converts. Hey, you know, that's not our charge. Our charge is to declare the glory of God in Christ Jesus. Christ just told them, blow the trumpet. Hold up the ark, blow the trumpet. That's all He told them to do. Walk around this city blowing the trumpet. This is what Scripture says. Deuteronomy 4:2 says, preach the preaching that I bid thee. That's it. Ezekiel 3:11 says, speak unto them and tell them whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. That's our mission. It's not to make converts. It's to declare the glory of God. We're a success by just preaching the gospel, whether God calls anybody or not. Notice this too. Each day they circled that city together. They went around it together. It would have been easy for one of them to say, you know, they won't miss me today if I'm not there. I'm just going to go and stay home today. Far from it. Far from it. Each step. Now listen to this now. Hear me now. Each step that each took together spoke to their brethren right beside them. Every step that took, this one brother starts growing faint, and the steps of that brother that's persevering beside him says to him, brother, be of good cheer. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Brethren, we continue together. Christ uses each one of us to cheer each other's heart and strengthen each other to persevere. Look at Ephesians 4:16. Let me show you that. I hear men talking about, you know, I don't need to be sitting under the sound of the gospel. I don't need to be. All men do is reveal their ignorance. They don't look at the wisdom of God right here. Ephesians 4:16. He's talking about how when he ascended, he gave them preachers and he assembled the body together for the perfecting of the saints, for the calling out of his people till we all become one body, one all elect children into one body in Christ. Now look at verse 16. And as we're going forth preaching, he says, from Christ, the whole body, it's been fitly joined together. He's put it together and compacted. Now look how it's fitly joined and compacted. By that which every joint supplies. Every joint here means every believing member, which every joint supplies. According, it's not just that you and me do it to one another. It's not just, I'm not talking about just sentimental encouragement here. I'm talking about this. Look, according to the effectual working of Christ in the measure of every part. According as Christ works in you, and in you, and in you, and in you, and in you, He, through one another, makes us to encourage the other brother and makes, look, this is what happens. He makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Brethren, that's the wisdom of God. That's the wisdom of God in saving through the gospel. That's the wisdom of putting brethren together with brethren in a body so that He edifies us using each other to do so. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. And then look here, here's another thing. Look at 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. It would have been easy. 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to let you get there because I want you to hear this. It would have been easy at any time as they're going around this city for those that are bearing the ark to say, you know, the trumpet blower don't need us. He don't need us. It would have been easy at any time for the guard to say, I'm not bearing the ark. I'm not blowing the trumpet. They don't need me here. No. Look here. 1 Corinthians 12:15. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him. Look at verse 27. Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. God's put, just like you have your members of your earthly body, and they all, you know, they're all helping out every other member, and they all form one body. And just because my eye's not my hand, it doesn't mean I don't need it. And if everything was hearing, I wouldn't be able to smell. And so He's put all the members in the body. That's what He's done in His body. Christ has done in His body, His church. He's put the members there just like He would have them be there and given them the abilities He's given each one to do what He'd have them to do. And so Paul says, let me tell you a better way. Rather than saying, you know, because I'm not blowing the trumpet, they don't need me there. Rather than saying, you know, because I'm not working the audio equipment, they don't need me there. Rather than saying that, Paul says, let me tell you a better way. Love one another. Love one another. Love one another. How's that? By continuing together, supporting each other with the gospel, using whatever God has given you to use, however He's using you. That's right. That's what He's done here. And notice this too. Every day they went around that camp, they went back to the camp. They went back to the camp. They went around that city, and then they went back to that camp. Now that took some perseverance to do that in faith, because the enemy knew full well they were in that camp. Once they started blowing those trumpets and going around that city, the enemy knew right where they were. And so when they went back to that camp, spent the night in that camp, I mean, at any time those gates could come open, and here could come a flood of soldiers out there and just taking them down in that camp. But in that camp, they went back in that camp, they ate. They went back to that camp, they rested. They went back to that camp, they encouraged one another. Boys, we've been around it five times now. Seventh day is almost here. It's almost here. And not one enemy was allowed by Christ to come and harm them while they were in that camp. Not one. Now, brethren, we're in this camp right here. He's called us into this camp, and we continue in this camp. We go out, we circle the world, and we come back to the camp. And we eat of this bread, and Christ strengthens us. And Christ encourages us through one another. And He does not allow His enemies to separate one of his children from him in his camp. He just doesn't. Now, look over at Hebrews 10, verse 23. Look at Hebrews 10, 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he's faithful that promised. Believe Christ. Keep believing Christ. He's faithful. He's promised. He's going to fulfill his promise. Now look what's connected with this faith. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. How are we going to do that? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You notice here the opposite of forsaking the assembling of ourselves is to exhort one another, is to provoke one another to good works. That's the opposite of forsaking the assembling together. And so assembling together means we're exhorting one another. Just by coming together, you're exhorting one another. That's right. I'm thankful for the live broadcast. I am thankful for that. Because some just cannot be here on a midweek service. And I'm thankful you can watch the service. But if you can be here, be here. I, for one, need you. I need you here. What if everybody said, we'll just watch tonight from home. Nobody will. It won't bother anybody. It'd just be me and Scott and Art here. I mean, we'd have service anyway, but I'd be a whole lot more encouraged to see everybody. You see what I'm saying? This is the wisdom of God to put His people together in a local body and send us forth this gospel. It's not only for the calling out of His sheep, it's for our own edification by His grace and for the edification of our fellow brethren. Don't ever imagine that your presence with God's sheep is not needed. It most certainly is. That's God's will. That's God's will. Now, thirdly, faith that believes and obeys Christ and perseveres shall behold Christ perform exactly what He promised. Look at verse 15. It came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner seven times. Only on that day they compassed the city seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Look at verse 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. You mean they did that with trumpets? They sure did do it with trumpets. God only calls us to do that which is impossible for me and you to do. That's all He calls us to do. He does not call us to do anything that's possible for you to do in your own power. He calls us to only do that which is impossible for us to do. Why? Not only to prove our faith in Him, not only to prove we're trusting Him, but to prove to our faith that with God all things are possible. That's why He does it. The Lord said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. That's right. You remember the blind men came to him and Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I'm able to do this? And they said unto him, yes, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were open. Their eyes were open. He told Martha, if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. You want to believe? You want to see the glory of God? Believe Him. Believe Him. Brethren, believe in Christ and obeying Him and persevering to the end in faith, depending upon Him to sustain our faith, to keep us. We shall see that with God all things are possible. We shall see His glory. What kind of things are possible? How are we going to see His glory? Hebrews 11:30 says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith. It says, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. And by faith, brethren, we shall overcome this world. Christ said, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Trust in Christ, the object of our faith. Because with Him all things are possible. With us, nothing is possible. But trust in Him. He's justified us of our sins. He's robed us in His righteousness. He's birthed us into a living, eternal life with God. He's given us access with the Father. He's assembled us together in His body. He's ministering to each of us through one another, through His gospel in His body. And He's calling out His sheep at the same time. Every now and then, brethren, every now and then, this gospel goes forth and that jubilee trumpet blows. That's what this word, this horns mean, jubilee. Every now and then, that jubilee trumpet, he blows that blast, and when he does, the walls fall down in one of his elect sinners, and he creates them anew, and he brings them to faith in Christ, and we stand amazed that he did that, because we know it's a miracle of grace. And we keep going, and we keep preaching, and we keep gathering together, we keep assembling together, because one of these days, when it's the seventh day, and the work is seven completed, it's in perfect completion, He's going to blow with that long blast. He's going to blow with that final jubilee trumpet. And when He does, the walls of this world are going to fall down flat. And every elect child of God will have been called by His grace. And every one of us are going to ascend up before Him into glory. And we're going to take heavenly Jerusalem. That's right. Paul said, I'm speaking a mystery to you. We're not going to all die, but we're going to all be changed. In a twinkling of an eye, because the last trumpet's going to sound. And when it sounds, he said, those that are dead already, they're going to rise first. And then we that remain, we're going to be caught up in the air with him. And we're going to enter into the presence of our Lord. And then it's going to be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, grave, where's your sting? Sin, where's your sting? The sting of death is sin. Christ has put away the sin, and He's given us life, brethren. And so we're going to enter in, and we're going to rejoice in our God. You know what the very next words Paul said was? Therefore, brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always continuing in the work of the Lord, because your work's not in vain. It's not in vain. Keep on supporting the gospel. Keep sending this gospel forth. But sinner, listen to this now. Listen. Jericho was destroyed. And everything in it was destroyed. Rahab was saved. All Joshua and all the children of Israel were spared. They overcame. But everybody else in that city died. They died. Sinner, believe on Christ. Unite with His people. Persevere in faith with us by His grace. There's no church where I live. If there was no job where you live, what would you do? Because you think your job's your life. When Christ is your life, I tell you what you'll do. You'll get where you can hear the life. That's true now. He has to give us grace to do it, but that's what we'll do. May God give you grace not to shut yourself up in this cursed Jericho. And believer, may God give us grace to continue trusting in Christ, to continue loving our brethren and obeying Christ by preaching His gospel. What wisdom of God to save us this way. Amen.